Well, I don't know why you do that to me. I'm always a little nervous when I do this. And you sang all four verses. My goodness. All right, good morning. Well, that John 18 passage ties right in with what I'm going to talk about this morning. I want to start out by reading a verse from Mark 14, verses 32-36. It says, after the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus says to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take the cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. I can't even imagine the stress and the anguish that Jesus was going through as he was preparing himself for what was about to happen. Nothing in our life can compare, but has there ever been a time in your life when you were obligated to do something, but you were just absolutely overwhelmed with sorrow, dread, and anguish at the thought of what you had to do? So I'm going to tell you a story this morning, and during the telling, you may begin to wonder, where is this leading? So I'm hoping you'll understand near the end. September of 1973, I started my senior year at Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. I was a Bible major. In October of that same year, it was time for the Abilene Christian College Rodeo. I was a member of a social club called Kinsmen, and we decided that as a club, we were going to enter the bull riding contest. No, not me, Charles. You know me better than that, right? So we all drew pieces of folded paper and out of a hat to see who the lucky rider was going to be. The lucky draw went to a friend, Bruce, a fellow Bible major. We were all very quick to pat him on the back with words of encouragement. But Bruce asked if there was anyone in the club that would take his place. You could tell from the shakiness in his voice that the mere thought of getting on a bull frightened him beyond words. He said, please, won't someone take this from me? One of the club members said, Bruce, you drew the ticket. It's your responsibility to fulfill your obligation. You're the one chosen. Bruce turned to me and pleaded, Joe is a fellow Bible major, like I knew what that meant. As a fellow Bible major, would you please take my place? I replied with all the empathy I could muster. I said, Bruce, I would, but I have exams that week, and I can't afford to get my bones crushed and my head stomped on. My words didn't seem to help. Well, the day of the rodeo had come. It was time for Bruce to draw for the bull he was to ride. There were 8 bulls in the rotation. Some were small, some were large. None of them looked scary, except one. Bruce drew the meanest and biggest bull in the entire circuit. He drew an enormous white Brahma bull whose name was White Lightning. Growing up, I'd seen a lot of Brahma bulls on my uncle's ranch in southeast Texas. White Lightning, though, was the biggest Brahma bull I'd ever seen. The other seven cowboys were breathing a sigh of relief. Bruce, visibly shaken from the draw, had beads of sweat pouring off his forehead. He pleaded for one of us to take his place. There were no volunteers. Bruce was going to have to face the anguish and torment of riding that bull alone. Several of us decided to go to the corral and take a little bit of a closer look at White Lightning through the fence. Maybe he wasn't so bad. We reasoned with each other. Maybe he was a nice bull. We stood close to the fence. White Lightning spotted us. He began to snort. He lowered his head and began pawing at the ground as if he was going to charge us. We backed away from the fence. With his mighty hoof, he sent a billowing cloud of dust that caused us to get as far away as we could. We each looked at each other, shaking our heads. I looked at the other and said, Bruce is in trouble. Suddenly, white lightning looked up and stared right at us with his tiny red eyes. I believe to this day that lightning looked right at me and broke out in a huge, ominous grin on his enormous face. He was laughing at us. Yes, we all agreed Bruce was in trouble. We tried to talk to him, tried to talk him out of it, but by now he felt he had to go through with his obligation. The time had come. It was Bruce's turn. Several cowboys assisted Bruce to get up high on the chute on the wooden fence. Bruce was not only sweating, he was shaking. By now we were pleading with him to climb down off the wooden rail. "There's no shame," we said to Bruce, "in changing your mind. Just come down, save yourself." As he climbed up in the chute and straddled the bull, an old bull rider who could barely walk said some encouraging words and whispered something in Bruce's ear. At that moment, a calm, confident, peaceful look came over Bruce's face. He relaxed. His entire demeanor changed. The old cowboy gave Bruce some last-minute instructions on how to hold on with his left hand and how to raise his right hand high in the air. We tried one more time, begging him to come down off the gate. "Bruce," we said, "you have nothing to prove. Please come down." Bruce looked down at us, said in a calm, reassuring voice, "No, I have to do this. I was the one chosen to do this." As you can all imagine, we were all saying a silent prayer for Bruce. Suddenly the chute gate opened wide. White Lightning, true to his name, took off out of the chute so hard and so fast that Bruce's head snapped back and his back was arched in a contorted position. I have no idea how he was even able to breathe in that position. 1 second, 2 seconds, three. But suddenly, something happened that none of us could explain. As quickly as lightning had come out of the chute, the huge Brahma bull stopped in his tracks. The bull stood there and didn't move. There was a quiet hush over the crowd. Everything was frozen in time. Nobody moved. Lightning didn't move. Bruce dare not move. He just sat there with his arm suspended in the air. What seemed like an eternity, the seconds slowly ticked by. 4 seconds, 5 seconds, six. Still no movement from Lightning. He stood there like a massive statue. 7 seconds, eight. Finally, the buzzer went off. The clown ran out. The cowboys rode out quickly and took Bruce off the bull. Still no movement from Lightning. The crowd began to roar. They began to chant in unison, "Bruce, Bruce, Bruce." I stood there staring through the fence at White Lightning. Lightning turned his huge, massive head and stared back at me with that same ominous grin. In fact, Corbin, he winked at me. He went like that. I don't know what that meant to this day, but he winked at me. Later, I asked Bruce, what did the old cowboy whisper in his ear? He said that he reminded him that God was in control. My friend, Bruce Utley, won second place in the bull riding competition. Bruce went on to get his bachelor's degree in Bible, a master's in divinity, and a doctorate in ministry. He spent his life preaching the gospel. Today he's an elder at a church in San Antonio, Texas. I think about Bruce from time to time. I can still see the fear and anxiety on his face. I still see his arm and his hand outstretched as he sat on top of Lightning motionless. Even though we begged him to come back, come out, come down, I can still hear him say, "No, I have to do this. I was the one chosen for this." As I read earlier from Mark 14, 32-36, I want to read it again. After the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow at the point of death," he said. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you, but your will be done, not mine." The pain and suffering on the cross Jesus was alone to bear. No one could take his place, not Peter, not James, not John. He knew it was his to bear. After all, he was the chosen one. We recall in Matthew 27:39-43, as Jesus hung on the cross, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God." As we know from Scripture, there'd be no stopping the inevitable. It was prophesied long ago. There was no buzzer. There'd be no cowboys to come take him down off the cross before he uttered the words, "It is finished." There were no adoring crowds chanting, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," as he carried his wooden cross toward Golgotha. There was only jeering and spitting and lashing with a whip. But the priests, the soldiers, and the crowd weren't in control. So here we are on this first day of the week. We come together to remember his death, remember his sacrifice, the sacrifice that saves us from our sinful nature, so that someday we can live with him forever. Let's take the bread, representing his broken body. Let's take the cup together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for that sacrifice you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray we remember that sacrifice every day, not just on the first day of the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.